Jays beat the Orioles. That was nice.
Season's back on. Playoffs, hey, baby.
I actually did want to ask you. Is today a must-win? A bananas must-win?
No, I honestly, wow, I don't. Okay. I don't think any of these are must-win anymore.
Why? Because the season's already over?
Yeah, because the Blue Jays are bad.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, no, the Blue Jays are bad, and I don't care what their record is.
That's a shame.
Like, just watch the games, nerd. Yeah, yeah, you won a game. You scored 3 runs.
That was actually the funniest thing about yesterday. Well, no, there were 2 things that were funny to me. Mm-hmm. One was when it was 2-0. Mm-hmm. Feeling like I was putting a time machine back to 2017 or 2018 when the offense couldn't score any runs and they would go down 2 runs, and the feeling was just that c'est fini, and game over. Thanks for coming down. I don't know. I was there Tuesday, and it wasn't there was like a little bit of an atmosphere because it was Looney Dog Day, so people were moving around, and it was almost a joke because they were getting beaten down so much. You could tell the crowd that was left over that didn't just leave was a little loose and all right, we're here for Tuesday night cheeky beers and hot dogs. It wasn't about baseball. Pretty quickly, yesterday through TV sounded like a graveyard. Mm-hmm. You feel that? Like after the bomb,
yeah,
it's trotting around home base and just looking at the crowd, it was oof.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know. Again, I don't know what you're supposed to be excited about, because even in the victories, it's like, okay, walk off. That's exciting. Yeah,
that was. Well, that's the other thing that is funny is IKF is truly among the stories of the season, which is bad, by the way. He's not a disastrous signing, which some people thought he was going to be. He sort of became the totem of, well, you didn't get Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. It was like, oh, we got IKF.
And then there was that report that I still don't understand whether it was the worst contract or the best contract that executives, I've still never, my production team has changed it 85 times and I've read it straight from the source and I'm still confused as to whether.
Who was that? Is that Jim Bowden? Report?
Yeah, it was executives around the league either say it's the best contract for a player. It's just a weirdly worded report.
Yes.
And I've seen both, I've gotten tweets and DMs, people going, you know, it's the other way around. I go, I give up.
Yeah.
Somewhere, here's what I would say.
Yeah.
It was polarizing.
Yeah.
It was a polarizing contract. And he's just kind of one of the, he's fine.
You can't even just say he's like been Isaiah Conner. He's having a career year right now.
Yeah.
He's never finished a season with an OPS over 700. He's on pace. What does he have? 4 home runs this season? His career high is 8. It's June. We're not at the All-Star break. Like, he's on pace. One of those home runs did happen in Detroit during the power outage game, so we don't have video footage of the ball going over the fence.
We
just have to believe people who say that it went over the fence. But no, it's like if I was going to break down, I mean, all you have to do is roll back the tape in my season preview of, like, the reasons why things could go pear-shaped for this Blue Jays team. I was like, oh, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, everyday third baseman, they're going to be looking for more offense out of that position, and it's going to be viewed as a disastrous signing. It hasn't. Like, he's held up his end of the bargain and more. He's one of the guys. I mean, where does he rank? Power rankings of, like, confidence.
Higher than he should be, I'll say that.
No lower than 5th.
No.
Right? Like,
for me, it's Schneider, Varsho, Vladdy, Bo.
Danny Jansen.
Jansen. So he is slower than 5th.
You put Bo up there, right?
Ahead of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, for
right
sure.
Right now?
Still.
No. Not
if
for
my
me.
Life was on the line, I would still put
not
Bo. That's
today.
The whole point.
Not today. Not today, man. I wouldn't. Yeah. And I know he salvaged the season having like a 700-ish OPS in May. And at the end of the year, I'm not falling into the trap I did in 2022. I was like, oh, this guy might stink. Like, have you ever considered the possibility that he stinks?
Yeah.
And then he didn't. Like, he was.
So
and he also
like
had a slow start
like
defensively
that
year,
too. You're getting a little nervous about our bet.
No.
Do you
want to
buy out today for if you want to buy out today.
No. We didn't put any money on it.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm well aware that we did.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did during the break.
No.
Well, actually, no. Now it's legal to put money down something, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. No. Oh, so is this the position you'd like to take?
No, I wouldn't buy out of it. It's like, because you know why?
Oh, you wouldn't, though, because, but as implying that you're not financially invested in this.
No, I would say that I still believe in the take. But the biggest part of it is that, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had, like, an amazing month of May. He's like, This is finally proof of concept. Hit no home runs at like an OPS of 1,000. Yeah, he had no home runs.
Yeah.
He hit no home runs. He smoked those singles, though, and he took a bunch of walks, which is better than the alternative, I suppose. And he's like, he's 14th, I believe, in home runs among first basemen. And that's as good as it's ever going to get. And also the biggest thing, which was revelatory to you when I said that, like,
the OPS.
The only time he's ever finished with an OPS north of 800 was in that 2021 season.
That honestly, I still... You know when there's what's it called when you get boat sickness and it sticks sticks with you for weeks after?
I should know this because I had it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, when I went on this cruise with my wife's family.
Yeah.
I wasn't sick. I just felt like I was on a boat. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
just...
whatever that is called. Someone at JD Bunkus on Twitter or Instagram. Someone give me that to me. That's what I have with the Vladdy never over 800 OPS stat. And every once in a while, I feel like I'm not on solid ground. I'm like,
this is the world I thought was real isn't. You're in the Matrix.
I get it. I'd like to formally say I'm with you in the sense of this isn't a must-win game today from the standpoint of my version of reality.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it kind of does seem as though, and again, why wouldn't it? Because there's dudes trying to save their jobs. Ross Atkins isn't up there going, well, I tried my best. He's not already shaking hands going, I'll see you guys later. And I talked to Robert Murray earlier this week. He doesn't think it's happening in season, the firing, which is weird because a couple people seem to have different minds when it comes to this. But his is that he would think it's an off-season move. Hmm. My feeling is that these guys are basically trying to scrap and claw, maintain close-ish to 500, and hope that at some point here in the schedule, they can rip off a nice little winning streak and get close enough to the playoffs, get close enough to a wild card that they could do maybe a little soft buying. You know, like, hey, maybe they add a bullpen arm, maybe they add a bat, a depth bat, and that helps them make a push towards the wild card so that they can try to sell seats and sell a little bit of hope and opportunity. No, I know you're rolling your eyes. I'm not saying this is the course of action that I want. What I do think is a reality today is if they get shelled again, and you and I are going,
mm-hmm.
although it is a daytime game, that you lose another series to the Baltimore Orioles, which do you want to know what they are against the Orioles going back to last season? I went to StatMuse yesterday and I punched it all up.
Okay, so well, they split the two games they played already this season, and because that was a series that was ended early because of the rain. And then last year, okay, so they played 13 games. Didn't they only win? They went 3-10 against them last year, I want to say.
They are 13-5 against the Orioles going back to last season. The run differential.
Well, you mean the Orioles are 13-5 against the Blue Jays?
Sorry. Yeah, if that wasn't. Sorry. Was that not clear to anybody?
Well, I mean, you said they were 13-5 against the Orioles.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess. Either way, it's pretty clear, all right, which side of this.
So I was right,
This hasn't been a lopsided affair, though, in terms of, oh, well, you know, it's 13-5, but they lost all these tight ball games like yesterday. There's been a couple 3-2s in there, actually, weirdly, between these two teams. I think there's four 3-2 games, but the runs are 89-49.
Because one team scores them, one team doesn't.
But that's it. But even when you look at basically every component of this Orioles team now, you go... I trust their starting pitching, don't you? With the Orioles?
But I mean, they've been good. They've been good. I mean, they've
come on.
Now lost
take Rodriguez
like John Means.
And you wouldn't take Rodriguez and Corbin Burns over.
Corbin Burns is better than anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
so you wouldn't take those two guys over. Like, who's even the number two? Kikuchi at this point because it's not Gausman.
I mean, Barrios. I know that the advanced numbers aren't. I mean, he just keeps getting it done. He's the reigning American League pitcher.
Just Barrios or Corbin Burns. Who do you want if you're the life on the line?
Corbin Burns.
Right, and then so you're number two. You're taking Gausman with your life on the line or Rodriguez right now?
No, why does it have to be Gausman?
But, okay, so you're taking Kikuchi?
Over Grayson Rodriguez?
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
It's a conversation more than Corbin Burns.
Who cares? They even have more depth at the position at this point. Like, there's just no doubt about that. The prospects.
They've given up the fifth fewest home runs their pitching staff has this season.
The prospects are so night and day, so worlds apart.
You're going to see a guy make his major league debut today.
So worlds apart that to even begin to compare them only brings shame upon your organization.
Mm.
It's like
Spencer Horwitz. I don't know if you've seen the numbers.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. And Ricky Tiedemann apparently is throwing baseballs. I saw that Jonah Birnbaum, he tweeted that it's been three professional seasons and Ricky Tiedemann doesn't have 150 innings pitched. Like,
we've done the Nate Pearson before.
Hey, guess what? With Ricky Tiedemann, it's over.
I mean, it's not over,
it's over.
You wouldn't bank on it.
Here's what, maybe his career is not over. For me to believe, if you ever write an article where you're like, and then Ricky Tiedemann,
Nate Pearson zone.
The idea that they wouldn't trade him for something is now looking back truly one of the funniest things of all time. And then when it comes to the bats, who wouldn't you trade the Jays for? Like Chicago, and who else?
Offensively? Who has a better offense than the Blue Jays?
All the teams. That's what I'm saying. To compare Baltimore to Toronto.
Honestly, it was before they won a game in this series. I looked at the Blue Jays as like the power rankings of the American League teams. Like this series against the A's is kind of important. Because that's kind of the team, I think, talent-wise, you're like, ooh, man, are we better than the A's? That's what you're looking at. Fourth or fifth worst team in the American League. You're talking about Oakland A's. Like, again, take the records out of it. Just like what you should expect from this team going forward. That's where this Blue Jays team is.
Yeah, the Jays are now, according to Blake Murphy, fourth all time in terms of first inning scoring droughts. The longest first inning scoring drought, fourth longest.
The Brewers, right?
And by the way, this stat dates back to 1907.
Oh, okay. So I've only seen the one since 2010.
No.
Give me 1907.
Yeah. 1907.
Yeah, give me that. Give me 1907.
Fourth worst in terms of early runs. So
they're really good at scoring in the second inning, though, apparently.
Hey, hell yeah, brother. That's the second. Hey, get it going in the second inning. Either way, you and I last week, we discussed, you're on this insane notion that you're pot committed and that you shouldn't be trading the main guys because you think that they should just be in the pivot. You're part of the stay in the middle gang, which is fine.
No,
you're
not staying in the middle.
Yeah, you want to stay in the middle. You like the middle. You like comfort. You're a guy who, let's be honest, you like...
My favorite thing is when you tell me
you like
takes.
Safety. No, but it. You I love come it. On. You're a safe. You played safe.
Oh yeah, I'm not a massive risk taker.
Yeah. No. That's it. That's why you look at the Jays right now. And if you were with the khakis and the clipboards, you would go, let's just run it all back because that's safe.
No, I wouldn't run it all back.
Yeah,
I would say that you're far too far down the line with Vlad and Bo. Mm. And unless the return is some astronomical thing, like unless you're getting a Juan Soto, who in their right mind is giving you a Juan Soto package for either one of those guys?
No, I'm saying that at this point, the number one argument for why you strip it down to the studs and why you go back into rebuild land and you stop with this whole misnomer of, oh, well, it's the pivot, Jays, it's the pivot, is that 89-49 against the Baltimore Orioles and say, sorry, that's changing because you're bringing in some prospects for Yimi Garcia and for Yusei Kikuchi. Sorry, that's changing when you come back next year with three starting pitchers that are already going to be in their post-prime, because at least Berríos is closer to that than he is in his prime.
God knows this front office is good at evaluating young talent, right, in the draft and prospects.
I got to tell you, that's one of the other topics I have for you today is everything always looks bad when they talk about, like, no splashy free agent really recently. It's like, no, payroll's through the roof. Everybody's pissed off because Vladdy and Bo haven't materialized into being the super-duper stars that you were really hoping that they were going to be. But I think that if there's any reason to fire this front office into the sun, and the number one thing where you say, pack your bags, Ross Atkins, it's look what you've done with this farm system and how little you've developed and how nothing has ever come up. I saw some tweets of people going, it's not the Jays' fault that they have the opener going here. Like, pitching depth isn't the problem
with
this organization.
That?
I'm just saying I saw it. I'm not doing that.
I mean, that's the biggest indictment. You can, offense is the thing that obviously was going to fail this team and they didn't address. But, like, okay, look at the other free agents and how they've performed or haven't performed. And it's like, do you really want to? I mean, they ended up signing contracts that weren't prohibitive, but, like, Cody Bellinger's not winning an MVP.
No.
Matt Chapman, you did offer him the same deal that he took in San Francisco. Jorge Soler's a brutal.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been an absolute anchor. Okay, Jock Peterson's a guy that's doing well, but, like, okay, the real.
No, but all those guys, all those contracts would have been horrible for this team.
Sure.
Yeah.
the number one thing you can point out with this front office is the most egregious thing they did was not having more starting pitching depth for the, like, we started the season essentially with an opener. Bowden Francis was the, like, fifth starter, but the idea that he was going to be a starter and that behind him you had a guy in Yuriel Rodriguez who didn't pitch at all last year, you're like, oh, that's our backup plan. Or Ricky Tiedemann, who, like you said, hasn't thrown 100 professional innings.
No, he's literally Mr. Glass.
Paolo Espino? Like, no,
I don't
that's,
know who that is.
Yeah, that's a guy.
You know who Paolo Espino is?
He's got like an ERA in the 4.5s in Buffalo. Nice. And he's like a million years old. I think he's been on the Major League roster this year.
He's a million?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, that's the biggest joke of it all.
Uh-huh.
As a joke.
It is a joke. I just, sea legs.
Give me the name.
I'm seeing people say sea legs, but man. I feel like you get your sea legs is a good thing.
Yeah, that's when you're on the boat.
Yeah.
I feel normal now. I have my
Armin
sea legs.
Armin says vertigo, but it's like, no, I'm not talking about vertigo. There's another term for this. Like, anyway.
Yeah, it's a French term, actually. I think it's in French.
Mal de d'apparcement syndrome.
Yeah. Disembarquement.
Hey, can I tell you something? That's the last time you turn on your mic today. We live in a country, this is a bilingual country. For you to do that in my ear, a guy who went to French immersion, that's it for you today.
Yeah.
C'est tout.
Mal de disembarquement.
Merci.
That's right. I knew it was a French term.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the point. The point of all of this is you can't look at this Baltimore series and think that there's any type of move that is going to put you in their stratosphere. And then also,
there isn't.
And then you have to also realize that they're not even the team of the division right now.
No, the Yankees have won 7 in a row. They've hit more home runs than the Orioles. The only team in baseball that's done that.
I'm with you. I'm with baseball in the sense of, hey, just get in the playoffs because anything can kind of happen. If you were to get on a run, right? We just saw with the Diamondbacks last year, right? It's an 84-win team.
How are you feeling about that trade, by the way? Gabriel Moreno is a win behind Dalton Varsho this season in WAR. He's 0.9, Dalton Varsho 1.9.
I feel the same about it. It was a bad trade. It was a bad trade. Like, you lost last season when, again, you made it into the postseason. You would have had Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who was an all-star, and you signed Kevin Kiermaier. If they would have done the trade and they didn't sign Kiermaier, and they would, although Kiermaier was really good offensively last year.
He kind of really screwed them being as good as he was.
Yeah, he kind of did.
Where he's like, oh, we were so... Remember the conversation we were having before last season about how terrifying it was that he's been essentially handed 100... Well, he was obviously... He's oft injured, and he was coming off hip surgery, but like 130 games in center field? Mm-hmm. That's what he's been promised? That's a nightmare. This guy's not an offensive bonus or an offensive plus?
I don't want to relitigate this trade every time one guy gets on a hot streak, but what I would say is I don't do the thing where I completely forget what happened the year before. Varsho killed them.
Yes.
And there was all this stuff about, oh, his defense is like, man. That was nothing to me. I'm sorry. They needed a bat, and he was one of their worst offensive players. And that year, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno were red hot, and they led their team to a World Series.
Yep.
So the idea that, like, that doesn't count now... Mm-hmm. To me, is outrageous. That counts. Do I think that right now the Blue Jays are trending in the better direction on that trade? Absolutely.
It's becoming more even.
Yeah, but the idea that now it's like, well, he's having a better year than Moreno.
No,
that's crazy.
I didn't say that, like, oh, the Blue Jays won the trade. It doesn't look as egregious as the guy.
It looked like
the World Series MVP.
No, but to your credit, you were the one that was always on this of, hey, man, Varsho was horrific last year, but if he's just what he was on the road and he's that at home, then you're looking at a good player. And right now, it's funny. I'm on team strip it down to everything. Like, if you can get something for Vladdy, do it. If you can get something for Bo, do it. I'm not on the just trade them for the sake of trading them for nothing. But that being said, I think you're now at the point where you've got to collect whatever assets you possibly can. And I brought this up with Robert Murray the other day. I'm almost repeating myself, but I just don't see a scenario where you can trade fringy pieces that you can do the, like, we're trading Richards and we're trading Kikuchi and we're trading the pending free agents, and then we're going to give Danny Jansen a contract extension, and we're going to come back and we're going to try to sprinkle some money in free agency. Maybe we move off of George Springer, we eat that, and we try to bring some. It's like, no, all that's going to do is make it this team. Mm-hmm. It's going to make it this team with the others around it. And I don't, I just feel the way the market is going right now and the way the fan base feels in general that we can't even enjoy walk-off wins like last night.
No, I've heard nothing.
That you need to be a little bit more drastic, that you do need to realize, hey, it's about winning, but it's also about showing that you have some understanding of where the fan base is at. And this is the thing that bothers me about the Leafs right now, too, and this whole idea that they could end up running it back. And I know that there's some people that go, well, what are you supposed to do? It's just, if the Leafs come out next year and they have a start to the season that is dreadful, or the Marner thing goes sideways, they have another playoff exit like this, and he walks away for nothing. I don't think that all of a sudden they're not going to be selling tickets for Leafs games, but I do think that you're starting to do damage to these fan bases. Like people become apathetic. People aren't as needy of sports as they have been.
The Leafs one's a tougher one because, like, quite factually, Mitch Marner can just say, under no circumstances am I going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, am I accepting any trade? And at that point...
Kind of, I know, but that's a little overplayed. It really is. It is.
I mean, okay.
No, it is, man. If they wanted to really play hardball, they could get him out of town.
Yeah, make it, like, super uncomfortable for him. Like, and if you wanted to lose a trade, for sure. Like, lose, there's one thing to, like, open up the cap space and, like, get something. There's, like, if you wanted to lose, and it's just, like, he'll go one spot, and that team's got you over a barrel, and you get nothing back.
Anyway, it's so funny because people love doing this right now. This is my least favorite thing on social media is people going, some people in Leafland don't seem to understand what a no-movement clause is. And you're like, oh, okay, like, thank you.
No,
we
just
understand.
Comparing it to the Blue Jays situation.
I know. I just want to get back to the Jays. I want to stick with this conversation, which is basically what I'm getting to is the Orioles series to me really does need to serve as the ultimate, hey, stop screwing around. Mm-hmm. You know, like, stop trying to tread water. Stop trying to trick people into thinking that this is a fine baseball team. Like, it's right in front of you. It's 89-49 over the last 2 years, and this is the team that's on the upward trajectory. How did they do it? Well, they stripped it down to the studs. Are you going to have the appetite to do that? Probably not. They already kind of did that with a couple of seasons. But it's got to be something drastic to try to get back on the same page with the teams in your division. And plus, your competitive timeline, it's not going to fit with these two teams that are at the very top.
Yeah, I mean, also, the big fly factor, the Orioles seven. No, I was just going to throw it in there.
No, but no. I do want to talk about it.
But, no, the Orioles are just much better. Lots of teams with even worse records than the Blue Jays. Like, the Rangers and the Astros have similar records to the Blue Jays this season. Those are teams that I wouldn't wave the white flag on.
No, and
run differential is part of that. Like, roster construction.
The Rays have been bad.
No, the Rays are actually quite bad. Like, you dig into the Rays numbers, the Rays are actually really bad.
Yeah, the Rays are bad, but Red Sox are no good. It's
Red Sox pitch, though. Like, Red Sox, we thought that would be their major issue, but they pitched. Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, I understand what you're saying, right? Like, hey, there's no quick fix here. That's it. That this team is so rotten to the core that the only way to correct that would be by recouping enough assets and getting enough bullets in the chamber that, eventually you turn yourself into the Baltimore Orioles. And I would say, like, nothing short of, like, giving the bag to Mike Elias, the Orioles GM, I don't know how you become that. Also, like, if you're doing that, if you're the Blue Jays and you're like, we're waving the white flag. Well, one, that's, you can't keep the same general manager. Can you keep the same president? Like, and what is the relationship between Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins? And I that's not how you should be making your decisions, but who's making the decision above him? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of complications there. I just, you know, to me, you're so far down this path, and you do at least have at your disposal the deep pockets, right? Now you're willing to spend.
Except for you don't, because you have to spend on those two guys.
Yeah.
So you're spending on two guys with OPSs below 800. Like...
Will have one north of 800, and Vlad will definitely have one below.
So you say.
Yeah, unless there's the, but like...
I mean, you just said that you have more confidence in IKF than Bo right now, so...
I would have said the same at the beginning of 2022. Guess what? There's nobody in baseball that I would have said that about Bo Bichette by the time August rolled around.
Robert Murray told me, too, that his contract is impossible to predict.
Oh, you have no idea.
It's like he's the hardest contract to predict in baseball.
It's not only the offense, because, like, I've been a defender of the defense, too, because I was like, oh, you got this incredible offensive player at the most premium position. If he plays average, passable defense. It's what an asset you've got there. And generally he's done that. And he's had slow starts and bounced back defensively. He's still been one of the worst defenders at shortstop this season, which I also happened in 2022. Mm. And what, but again, no, but proof of concept. Yeah. Proof. We've seen him have slow starts in both sides of the ball in 2022, okay, and he bounced back by the end of the season.
All right, yeah.
He was incredible by the end of the season. So you got to defer to the player who's
You're
done
literally
this
literally Leo in the water holding on. I'm Rose with all the right takes living on the board, and you're like, I think we're both going to live. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all your takes are good,
but
too.
I've already died on this. Because I was you. I've been you. Like,
what
I
do you mean?
In 2022, I was you. I was like, this guy stinks. Like, he's the number one reason why this team is underperforming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, you're saying you don't want to get twice bitten on this.
No.
Okay, yeah,
And all I can do is defer to the sample, and it's huge now, right? Like, he's not a 20-year veteran, but, like, we've got now a pretty good sample of what Bo Bichette is as a baseball player. Two seasons in which he led the American League in hits. A third, if he didn't get hurt, he would have done the same.
Yeah.
And a guy that we've seen play passable.
This is exactly what I would be saying. This is exactly what I would be saying on the trade call right now with the other teams that you're trying to shop Bo Bichette to.
If you can do that, like the Dodgers are an obvious team.
Yeah,
that would
be amazing. And so apparently the Guardians too, according to Jeff Passan, as he said that they
sure, a couple of teams with pretty good history as far as drafting and developing young players.
I am doing it tomorrow. Just showing the fan base that you know that this is way off, this is way off and that this needs a deep recalibration is awesome. The problem is, though, is that, again, if you're talking about trading for prospects, do you trust these guys to trade for prospects? These guys that have literally gone over in the draft? Like, their best draft pick is Alek Manoah.
Correct.
It's like, that's their best one.
Hey, Austin Martin was in the major leagues.
Yeah. Just they can't identify a prospect to save their lives. You know... What we need a new Mel Didier in this organization. Like, we need a new Mel Didier yesterday. You know, it's just...
We need Mike Elias. Like, I don't know. Dude. I know the Orioles have now financial muscles because they have new ownership, but yeah. Wouldn't it be great if you were doing, like, the Leafs thing where he's like, I want that guy from your organization.
Yeah.
Give me him. Here's $20 million from Mike Elias. He's our GM now.
Okay, so I want to do one quick thing before we break. Actually, two quick things because I want to wrap up the Blue Jays conversation. What is the most disappointing element of the season to you so far? I was thinking about this last night. Like, what is actually where you're like, man, this is a bummer?
Well, I mean, is it a cop-out to say the offense? It just, like,
But, like, specifically, because, yeah, the offense does stink. I guess you're right. Maybe you can just lump it in all together, but...
I mean, if we're going to be specific, it is that, hey, this was a big bank on the core, and 50% of it has shown up, and the 50% that showed up in a way that a first baseman's not supposed to necessarily make their offensive bones, and that, yeah, okay, I wish, what if Bo Bichette was the like, if you got the large six-month sample Bo Bichette, what if you got, like, the average version of that in these 2 months? I'm not saying the Blue Jays are, like, at the top of the American League East, but they're certainly better than what they've shown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest disappointment. It's, like, not knowing. Like, and Ross Atkins, if I was going to, like, play the role of Ross Atkins today, I'd be like, you know, guys, I know it looks bad and we look like morons because we banked on the core. But
if these two guys were studs, it would be kind of okay.
I know, like, what else were we supposed to do? We're kind of stuck. Like, again, look at the available guys and,
What I said, which was last offseason, I wanted them to trade Vladimir Bo. I've been on the Vladimir Bo trade scenario for a while. Like, this isn't, I'm not being reactionary to this. I've said this. I went into all last season. I've been saying this to baseball people who've gone, I don't think it's the worst case scenario to let one of these guys walk for free. And I'm like, no, man, you need to recoup things. I would be fine with that if they were in the position that is they've got all these free agents and they use these dudes as own rentals these prospects, but they don't. Like, it's just, to me, nothing has been more obvious than they've needed a new injection of something. Mm-hmm. And again, they stuck with this front office, they stuck with Atkins, and they stuck with the smartest guy in the room crew, and this is what they get. Like, this is what you reap what you sow, and this organization, like, it's about as bad as you look around baseball as any in the entire sport, especially given that, like, you can't even really sell people on hope. The only jersey, did you see the City Connect thing?
What, the jersey?
Yeah, the only guy that's selling is Davis Schneider. Like, how is that not an indicator to you of the Vladdy and Bo era is done?
Yeah.
Like, how is that not something? And I know that's a very small thing. It's a one photo. But you go to the game, it's true, man. People love Davis Schneider.
Yeah.
They really love him. You nailed it. Ben Ennis
got it.
Real great take. Really great take. Ennis is the first guy.
It was not easy.
Listen,
I had to stare down Joe Siddle and have him laugh in my face.
Yeah, you said you stared him down. You stared down multiple people who've laughed in your face about this. I'll tell you this. You are basically the guy who took that Bitcoin for that guy's pizza.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know that guy who was like, I'll give you these two whole Bitcoins for two pizzas? You're the guy who got the Bitcoin.
Yeah, and he's eating his $120,000 pizza.
It's more than that. But yeah.
Sorry, 140.
Yeah, right. Not that I know. So, no. He got two whole Bitcoins.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, anyway.
$140,000 U.S.
Yeah, so anyways, that's you with David Schneider. But, yeah, I saw that picture. It was the City Connect jerseys, and they had the empty rack. And maybe they were just restocking it. I don't know for sure. They didn't do investigative reporting on this. But there is a photo of it, and it sure does feel like out of the entire Blue Jays roster, the only super popular guy is David Schneider. People should be more stoked on Dalton Varsho because he is a fun player and he's a good player.
He's got his flaws. Him for what he is.
Yeah, exactly. He's got his flaws.
Which is like maybe the best defender in the outfield in Major League Baseball, and a guy that has power can run into one and – not a ton else. Like, he hit 26 home runs, right?
He'll have some horrific strikeouts that you look at and where you're like, oh, my God, that was so bad. But, you know, he's got some pop. I like Varsho a lot. He's great defensively. Mm-hmm. You love him when he's on the bases. And weirdly, I'd like to know what his stolen base attempts to, like, he's weirdly for a guy that you think is super fast and athletic. Whenever he tries to steal, I'm like, out.
I mean, George Springer is weirdly like the only guy that can steal bases on this team.
Anyway, they made the bases bigger, though. Everybody's going to steal now. And Dalton Marshall's like, I can't get one. I can't even get close to one. Vladdy and Bo, I'm sure there are kids that still love Vladdy and Bo because that's what I'm saying is because you show them to kids. But I don't think adults who like the Jays feel super connected to either of those guys anymore. And I would say that that's part of the reason why you should move off of them is that dudes don't want to go. And if you're going to a baseball game now and you don't want to, because you get that revenue, right? When you buy the stadium in house the jersey in the stadium. I can't imagine who's buying Vladdy and Bo jerseys right now. Like if my friend came out of the pro shop and was like, I bought this new Vladdy jersey. I'd be like, well, okay. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's the best argument.
I got to talk about one other thing too. And that's the last thing. Okay. You know what he did? Armin?
No.
Okay, finish your thought, and I'll get into it.
I was going to say, that's the best argument against, like, the counter-argument to trading one of those guys. It's like, what an indication to the fan base. You just redid the ballpark, and you're going to tell them that you're faces of the franchise? You're shipping out of town for some prospects that they've never heard of?
Nobody cares about them.
I'm of that belief. It's like, what kind of historical equity do you have? Like, all we know of these guys is... Okay, some good regular season moments, but in the playoffs, they haven't won a game. And the most notable moment
they're basically moments. Or Vladdy had an amazing season, especially, and most of it wasn't done here.
Yeah.
And Bo had an incredible month.
I'm Mr. Negative, so the two moments I think about is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being picked off second base.
Yep.
First time in the playoffs in Blue Jays franchise history with Bo Bichette at the plate and him representing the tying run in a playoff game against the Minnesota Twins. And Bo Bichette running into George Springer in center field as part of one of the biggest postseason collapses in franchise history against the Seattle Mariners in a game in which Teoscar Hernandez hit two home runs. So those are two lasting images of those fellas in the most important time of the season.
What's the greatest Vladdy moment?
I think of the Gerrit Cole game. Remember, he had like four hits off Gerrit Cole, including a home run, and Gerrit Cole tipping the cap to him. Obviously before we ever played a major league game,
that's hitting
the
home
run in Montreal.
That's what I wanted you to say is like, I still think that the best Vladdy moment is at the O.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were there for his first major league hit. That was kind of cool.
It was, but I'm just saying that.
No, moment, he has no moments of significance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that this is over the entire tenure. Anyway, I don't think there's a lot to fret over. That's my number one argument for these guys. That would be my number one argument to the front office is just simply, hey, you know, you're worried about maybe some people that don't want to show up to the ballpark or buy tickets because they don't have Vladdy or Bo. No, they're still going to show up. If you're selling hope and you're selling accountability, if you're selling that there's a pivot, you're actually going to get more leeway from the fan base right now than the other way around. And I do feel as though some organizations miss this. Because they look at it and go, no, like it's better to be competitive, right? Don't you want us to have wins? It's like, We don't need that. No. A lot of the Rogers Center experience right now is you go down and you have fun, like you and I are going down today, where it's like you're having a beer with your friend in the sun.
There's a bonus. Listen, you'd prefer it to be the other way where every game has stakes, but there is something like freeing about going to a ballpark.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Hey, it's just about watching the crack of the bat.
Exactly. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. It's just, you know, friends.
Hey, there's a baseball game happening
here. Start your bachelor party down here on the day game on a Saturday. That's actually a dreadful move, by the way. I do think that when you start the bachelor party, like drinking at the Jays game during the day. That's how you lose soldiers.
I didn't make it.
Yeah. No, it seems like a good idea, but it's not. It's really not a good idea.
I didn't even make it to the restaurant before the gentlemen's. I gotta even get in the car to go to the gentlemen's club, the third destination.
I get it. Not every group of bros has a good planner, and especially when you're younger, especially if you get married in your 20s, because then not everybody has money, and you're trying to do things that are kind of cost efficient, and you go, oh, like a baseball game with all the fellas, and we all get shirts, and we sit together, and we booze, and you go, yeah, no, this sounds good, but it's not good. Especially you got hotel rooms around the stadium, then all of a sudden guys are like, well, I'm just going to go back to the hotel room for like 5 minutes. I'll see you never again.
Yeah.
This might be the end of our friendship. Okay, I got to tell you this story before we break, because I got to get into one other thing in the other side of break.
Okay.
So the City Connect jerseys, actually, when I first saw them, I thought that's the most terrific thing I've ever seen. Now I've seen them on the hat. I actually like the hat a lot.
No, I don't like the hat.
I like the hat.
No, the hat, like, just, I don't know. Maybe it's like, it looks like the TTC logo almost, like obviously different colors. I don't like it. I like the jersey, though, I like.
Yeah, so I like it. I will say that whenever guys wear the red undershirt under it, it looks really skitty to me. Like Barrios, the look he had yesterday, I went, yeah, no, this is not. There's something about that look.
Didn't notice it.
Yeah, I'm not into that look in particular. But you know what I'm really not into?
What?
Actually, I shouldn't have set it up that way. So I didn't go to the City Connect party. I screwed up.
Me too.
I know. I really regret it.
It was like coming into the city, which is such a nightmare.
Yeah. It makes sense for you. It made no sense for me. I chose to watch basketball. Like, I chose to watch the Minnesota Timberwolves game.
Free drinks and a free jersey.
I love the NBA. I really, and I thought.
What game was that?
It was game 5. I know. It's embarrassing. I know.
I was like, wasn't that recently? Didn't we just come off nine combined games in the conference final? And people were asking me to go,
and I was like, nah, I want to watch this game. And
you really thought the T-Wolves had, like, the first 3-0 comeback in them?
I was very curious to see what it looked like in that game, especially since Ant and Cat played really well on the road the game before, and I thought maybe they had found something as... Anyway, There's no defending it. It's actually so embarrassing that I did that. Like, but one of the things at the City Connect party, because again, like, Lord knows he didn't do any work. Like, he was just like, I'm going to the party. I was like, yeah, don't worry. I'll work.
Armin.
Yeah. He goes, and one of the perks was that they gave out a free City Connect jersey if you're at the party. So it's like a free jersey, free hat too, or was it just the jersey?
Yeah, free hat too.
Okay, so anyway, he's there drinking, probably embarrassing himself in front of Jose Bautista. Joey Bats! Like, I could see you being one of the guys.
I didn't talk to any of the players.
You didn't say Joey Bats?
No.
You are the kind of guy, can you at least admit?
I'm not the guy they want to talk to.
No, but can you at least admit that you're the kind of guy who would call him Joey Bats?
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from a guy who did call Curtis Joseph Cujo. In person.
I think that's different. And also, that was my... I was top three childhood hero, okay? I had a moment of weakness. And yeah, it was bad. It hurt me still to this day. Why'd you bring that up? It hurts my feelings. Anyway, I did. Hi, Cujo. Oh, sorry. He gets his jersey, and he puts on the back of it.
No, not his last name.
Worse.
Definitely not worse, man.
Infinity worse.
Rogers.
First of all, he works here. So if you get that, the thought to me is, I'm giving this to somebody. Like, that's the automatic move is, how many times am I really going to wear this? Like, let me either, you know,
Yeah, if I could get one for my kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They came in kid sizes. So, did they come in kid sizes? I feel horrible. Yeah.
I didn't see that, Ben. Okay. I don't have a kid to give it to.
No, but so whatever.
If they came in kid sizes I didn't go out and get them, I'm the worst.
Yeah, you actually are the worst, and it doesn't even matter if they come in kid sizes. Like, I still have a jersey that I'm waiting to give your kids, actually. It's gigantic, but it's one where I know they'll love it, and they love
they
Matthews.
Wear, I mean, they have some outsized stuff that they wear as, like,
right,
like
actually,
jammy gowns.
I can't give that to you. And I can't give that to you today, because you don't want to take that down the ballpark. But he put on number 10.
Vernon Wells?
DeMar DeRozan. He put DeRozan.
Okay, there's so many layers.
It says Toronto on the jersey.
No, I know, but it's like City Connect.
Yeah. No, no. So
no, he loved me like DeMar DeRozan.
Wait, what?
Do you hear him talk?
Wait,
just so
what?
Everyone, just hold on. Everybody take 1 second here. Hold on. Nobody talk. If you're listening to this podcast right now, and you've ever been critical of me, and you've ever been like, man, JD, your takes are bad, or you didn't do, like, that's the person who produces my show. Like, hold on. City love me like DeMar. You heard that. You all heard him speak that way.
Uh-huh.
That's my producer. No, that's the guy in charge of things. Like, he has real responsibilities on the show. And he puts DeMar DeRozan on the back of a baseball jersey, drunk at a party. And then he comes on this show and he says, City love me like DeMar DeRozan. It's a miracle I get this thing out every day. Anyways, continue your thought now, Ben.
Okay, so my thought was not like, wow, that's horrible. It's like, that is very confusing. Because who doesn't love DeMar DeRozan, right? And he's a sympathetic figure, but he's also like the avatar for mediocrity with the, and like had to
Dude,
go.
Did
like,
you hear
and
him the sacrifice.
He had to be thrown into the volcano, right? Like that's kind of like a nice footnote in the history of this franchise, and they'll retire. Retire his jersey. I know he's like, but
he's the leader in franchise points.
Sure. He had to go to for this franchise to realize its greatest moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's also a basketball player.
Well, it's on brand.
Hey, all the stuff you said, it's mostly that. It's mostly that. It's like, it's okay. Yeah, I know. No, it's honestly, when I first saw it, it broke my brain for a second when I was like, this is not, I thought it was like a mock-up. Like, or someone else did it.
Right.
And I went, DeMar was at the party he took a picture.
Yeah. And you're getting it for DeMar. DeMar is was going to the party.
Guarantee it's a one of one.
No question.
You're the only guy. Like,
Good take.
Yeah, which is just incredible. Yeah, I'm sure. Try to sell it. Like, see what you get. I'm sure because it's a one of one, it will hold tremendous value that people will be clamoring for said DeMar DeRozan jersey. No, it's one of the, I would say, most aggressively bad jersey fouls I've ever seen.
It's just very confusing.
Yeah, no, it's like, and for it to even cross his.
I know
brain.
I love basketball.
I know. Well, that's the thing. He doesn't know any baseball players.
So
he doesn't know a single baseball player. So he went to this thing, and he's a basketball guy, and he stared
just
at this jersey.
Blank.
And
just leave it blank.
Of course, leave it
just
blank.
Just leave it blank.
I guarantee you, he didn't even know Vernon Wells was 10. I would bet my life on it. When he was putting that out, and they put number 10, and I would have said, freeze time, who's 10? He would have gone, DeMar DeRozan. Like, that's it. And so, he put a basketball player's name on the baseball jersey because he's the city loved me like DeMar DeRozan. I don't know. That was a great explanation.
Well, no, I met DeRozan when I was a kid. He came to the Armenian Community Center. I chopped it up with them. I
shot a DeRozan jersey.
Well, I got this for free, bro.
So what?
That's a big difference.
So that was your big homage to him is that he came to the Armenian Community Center and you said, man, when I'm 30 years old, I'm going to go to a party.
Hey, I'm not 30 yet.
And I'm going to go to a party and I'm going to get a DeRozan jersey and put it on my Instagram. And that is how I will pay tribute. Anyway, we got a break. But yeah, you got to post it again.
Oh,
I'll put it on. I'll repost it. Tag me. I'll put it on my Instagram at JD Buck. I can't note yours. But yeah. Oh, my God. The best. The absolute best. Anyways, quick break. Do you always have a rooting interest?
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Okay, so want to wrap up the show. Good hour with Ben Ennis. Again, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus. Reach out to the show anytime. Always love feedback. Always love people ripping Armin. I'm seeing a lot of tweets already about people who hate this jersey, and it's like, yeah, it's because...
So funny.
It's correct. It's completely indefensible.
I can't.
It's one of those things where, like, literally in 2 years, he's going to look at it and be like, woof, yeah, you know what? They were right. It's like, he'll just defend it for now, but then he'll be like, yeah, whoops.
No, I don't. I feel bad for ripping his DeMar DeRozan love. Like, it's correct.
No, that's fine. I love DeRozan, too.
DeMar DeRozan.
Who doesn't love DeRozan?
To get... For that to be the first name you go to for the back of a brand new baseball jersey is, like, just confusing at the very least. Yeah.
I got to say, though, with DeRozan, and I love the guy to death, and I hope I get him on this podcast. The misnomer that, like, LeBron left the East and then DeRozan, you could have. He has it, but there's a certain section of the fan base who goes, well, it sucks for him, too, because LeBron left. And you go, yeah. And we needed Kawhi to be legitimately Michael Jordan level good, better than any LeBron run to get to the finals.
Like Giannis is still there.
No, you think that DeRozan was going to beat Jimmy Embiid Butler and Butler was, and, no, it's crazy. it's one of the weirdest things that people bring that up and they go, LeBron left. And you say, yeah, he left because the Eastern Conference was looking stacked, and so he moved. That was definitely part of it.
I didn't realize that was a more prevalent take, but like,
that's a very prevalent take.
Do people think like DeMar DeRozan is comparable to Kawhi Leonard?
No.
But then you just have a numbers case that they went seven against the Sixers, and Kawhi Leonard was at his absolute best.
It's just that people bring it up as though part of the added insult to injury for DeMar was that LeBron was such a figure. You couldn't beat LeBron. And then LeBron left. Mm-hmm. But he didn't leave nothing. Like, the Raptors didn't just have the Celtics run to the finals.
No.
Had they had that, and this was bringing this up last week about the Celtics and how people go, well, this is not an asterisk title, but the Raptors one is. I'm like, what? Yeah. The Raptors one is infinitely more impressive than whatever Boston is going to do here. Mm. Even, like, what? They beat Luka and Kyrie?
Yeah.
And that's more impressive
five
than...
seed.
Yeah, that's more impressive than the Raptors beating Clay and Steph, and just because there was no KD.
But they beat the Heat without Jimmy Butler. The Cavs with no Donovan Mitchell.
Anyway, only have a couple minutes here, but I did want to ask you this. So, you know, did you see this report about how many people do not have an internal monologue?
That's insane.
Yeah. So they don't.
How do they think though? Like, do they think in images?
Can I tell you something? It actually gives me anxiety to think about. Tell us, Armin, what is it like?
No internal dialogue?
Yeah.
No. Oh, I'd be talking to myself all day. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I know you're getting that.
Like, no, fam, it was a good jersey, fam. It's a good jersey, fam. That's all day.
So they don't think in words? Is that what you're saying?
They don't have internal monologues. They don't,
and sometimes when I get like stressed, it does get vocalized, but it's like, it's nonstop words in my head.
So I was thinking about something recently, like, I always need to have a rooting interest in sports. Mm. Like, I can't really just enjoy a game without at least feeling as though I have some side in it.
Yeah, it's like gambling.
No, what I do gamble.
Yeah, I know.
And so I'm usually rooting for my gambling. But even if I don't, I'm like, who do I root for? Mm. And I'm rooting for the Florida Panthers in this series against the Oilers. I've settled in on, what do you mean?
I'm surprised.
But it's not a strong one. It's just that I won't be upset because if the Oilers win, I'm going to go, hey, tip the cap to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Mm-hmm. Like, the greatness of the player, I always root for greatness. But ultimately, there's more part of me and I grew up in Western Canada, too. So I think that there's a little bit I've added that. But nah, I want the Leafs to be the first. I want the Leafs to be the only team to bring the cup back to Canada.
That's fine.
So it's just a slight lean. It's not like I'm going to be, like, living and dying with the Panthers or hating the Oilers. But I got a slight lean as of today with the Panthers. That might even switch because it's such a slight lean. And I feel the same way about this NBA Finals. Like, I'm very, hold on, we're going to go into the podcast here. We're going to take a quick break and take this conversation on the podcast because, like, I want to know from people, shoot me on Twitter and Instagram, like, if you have to have a rooting interest and whether you guys do, because I feel like I do. If I don't have any stake, I can't watch it. Anyways, quick break and we'll come back and we'll do a pod. Okay, we're rolling. Okay, so yeah, welcome to Podcast Only. Again, if you're listening to this and you haven't left me 5 stars, it's kind of, it's basically a crime because it's all I ask for. You know, leave five stars.
What if you think it's good but not the best? 4 stars, not acceptable.
No, I hate that too. That's actually the worst. Is I read all the reviews, and sometimes when people chitty, they put their little commentary in there like, oh, this is what I think. And it's usually, the worst part about it is, it's usually just someone who disagreed with one take or one show who listens all the time.
What if it's members of like Armin's family? It's like, I liked it except for the part where you ripped Armin.
Do you think that Armin's family doesn't rip him? Like, you think he's like the leader
immune
of his group? Because I don't think that, you think that like in his family, they look to him. They're like, what does Armin think about this? Like, no, I think it's more like, oh, and Armin is, oh, right, Armin. Oh, damn.
Well, I think they're like, oh, let's get the opinion from the co-host of that radio show.
No, I think it's a lot
of JD and Armin.
I think it's a lot of like, and we're going to have to do that for Armin. You know? And hey, you know, help your cousin. That's a lot of, I think it's a lot of that. I don't think it's like, oh, don't worry, we got him. You know, like, oh, he'll take care. It's not that.
We got us.
Yeah. Like, it's not that. They're like,
speaking of DeMar DeRozan,
he shows
I got
up at
us
a family barbecue and they're like, is that a DeRozan baseball jersey? He's like, yeah, fam. They're like, nice. Yeah, because he came to the Armenian Community Center when you were a child, right? He's like, of course. I'm like, yeah, wow, what a tribute. Like, sure, he'll deeply appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you like baseball, I'm sure.
So, like, yeah, with the basketball and the hockey finals here coming up. I've been really going back and forth on whether I'm rooting for the Mavs or the Celtics. And I know for some Raptors fans, they hate the Celtics so much that they are actively rooting against Boston. For me, my mom and dad met the 86 Celtics. They were basketball coaches who...
Yeah. At the Latvian Community Center?
No. Only that was my dad's side only. So my mom's side is very much not Lat. No, they were both basketball coaches who brought their team down, and this was the 80s, and so, you know, Casey Jones, the coach at the time, brought my parents and their basketball team into the locker room and got to meet the whole team, and I have a signed ball of the entire 86 Celtics in my office that is like a prized possession of mine.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah, my...
Every 86 Celtic is signed the basketball?
Yeah, basketball.
Is it in a case?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's in a case.
That.
Yeah, anyway.
That's a good one.
No, it's great. You know, my mom had like... a lot of correspondence with Casey Jones and, you know, great interactions with like basically every Celtic except for Larry Bird, who was like, didn't care that they were there and was, it's the most, all my parents' Larry Bird stories are like, yeah, he showed up early to shoot and then he didn't give a crap that they had this team here and they didn't want to talk to them. But like Kevin McHale and Danny Ainge and Bill Walton, like all these guys that were incredible to them. Casey Jones specifically, who like set it up for my mom, who was the one that sent him a letter about going down there and, like bringing the basketball team to Seattle to watch the game. So I always grew up with like some Celtics love in the house. Like my dad was a basketball fan and my mom was too. They both liked the Celtics for that reason, blah, 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 blah. It's like why we were a Celtics house. I kind of like the Celtics, but I don't love them. And I really don't love that if they do win, it's just going to be this crazy love affair for Tatum and Brown. And I don't want Boston fans to have more too. That's part of it. Like, Boston fans have so much and I have so little that I do sports hate that region. I go, yeah
that's
good. You've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, you win too many times. Mm-hmm.
Celtics have won championship though since like color TV came out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Guess what? I'm of an age where there's been a certain team called the New England Patriots and I watched
Boston
them
Bruins
win a lot. Bruins only have won two.
They have one, but they've been in a Game 7 Cup Finals.
But then obviously the Red Sox.
They've big brothered the Leafs.
It's funny because when I was a kid, I actually liked the Red Sox because they were cursed.
Sure. Who wasn't rooting for them in 2004?
Yeah, and I was. And I thought that was an awesome sports moment, and I really enjoyed it. It's one of my, like, it was just a very peak time.
Well, also, you could root against the Yankees.
Part of it too. Is they were you're right. That's more of what it was. Is that if you were picking a side between those two, you were like, obviously, I'm Red Sox.
Yeah.
Whereas now that Boston has won some, I look at them as the same.
Oh yeah.
They're both evil. Like if you like one and you're from here. But this was so long winded. But do you guys have to root for a team when you're watching a game? Because like, I realize that there are people that say they're professionals. Like, it's hard for me to picture, say, like Elliot Friedman watching hockey and going, well, I prefer this side win. Like, I think he kind of is able to check it. Do you check it? Is this just me?
No, I don't check it.
Even the smallest things, I'm rooting for this team.
No, I don't. I don't need it. And sometimes that does develop over the course of a series, right? Like I don't need to do it before game one. I will say that I'm able to go into a game without a predetermined side that I want to win and just like root for a close game. Cause I love that feeling. I love the feeling of like, oh my God, the ball's in your hand.
No, I like that. I'm not rooting so much that I root for a blowout. Like there's no way that I'd be like, oh boy, I hope the Panthers just destroy them in four games. Like I want game seven.
I don't need a rooting interest though. I really don't, because, and I just have more experience. I don't have an NFL team, and like, I've tried to have like the Bills take because of proximity, and it's just like, yeah, and I know lots of Bills fans. It hasn't happened for me, and like I had like an Eagles dalliance at one time. It just hasn't happened because like I was around a lot of Packers fans, and there was some postseason matchups that I enjoyed taking the other side of, but like it's just nothing is taken. I still love the NFL. I just root for close games, and I root for my takes though too.
Yeah, okay, that's something. But yeah, but okay, that's even a rooting. I just feel as though even when I'm watching football games of teams that I'm not, if I watch, like, well, this year I really did start to like the Lions. But yeah, if I'm watching, I usually either hate a team and I root against them, or I kind of marginally like a team. Like, I'll watch Panthers-Falcons. That's as like, I don't care as possible. Mm. I don't. I hate, like, they are the, that's, or conversely, that's the NFC version to me of, like, Titans-Jaguars. Mm. You know, Titans-Jaguars
is like the prototypical Texans. Thursday night affair.
Those teams are like the most nebulous who cares teams that you could possibly pick. Now I care about the Falcons because I want my boy to play QB for them, and I think it's an interesting story. But either way, I'm always rooting for a side. I'm rooting for like something about it. Like I know if I'm watching Falcons right now, I'll be rooting for the Falcons.
Okay.
And I'll be rooting against the Panthers for making that horrible shit. Like, there's just always a something.
You know
there's
what
always
it is
a something.
For me, I'll just be honest. I'll be straight up honest. I'm not proud of this. I'm not at all proud.
You don't
of
like
this.
Sports, we know.
I'm not at all proud of this.
Okay.
I root for the Schadenfreude. Like, I root for.
I
like,
do that
the,
too.
Who's gonna be like the most embarrassed?
I do that all the time.
And like, who's gonna be the biggest laughingstock? Like, oh, like you that.
But
matchup,
you do that every time.
Like that matchup, where there's like very little for me. Like, I'm not Michael Penix. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm like, oh, Bryce Young, I want him to be the worst first overall selection of all time. I want this to be the most embarrassing. I want the people who, like, think they're so smart to be so stupid. And for that little pee little QB to be so bad that it's like, it's Tim Couch level. Like, it's the worst ever, ever, ever. And when it comes to the Celtics and Mavs, I'm like, man, Jason Tatum's been here before. He shot 37% in that finals against the Warriors.
So you're rooting for Dallas.
Him and his team went down 3-0 to the Heat and then forced a game seven at home and blew it.
Can I give you a better Schadenfreude though?
What?
Mark Cuban sold this team.
Okay.
He sold the Mavs essentially, and like he's a quote unquote part owner, but he's not. Like he's not.
Yeah, he doesn't recoup any of the profits.
And he's not the guy that got the trophy. He wasn't even up there for the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference trophy celebration. Mm. He doesn't sit courtside like an owner anymore. He's not in the mix the way that he used to be. It's very clear that he's out. Mm-hmm. He's there, but he's out. That's the ultimate Schadenfreude is. They win, and it's no longer the Cuban show. Is that he has to sit there going, what have I done? What?
No, but
what
he's
was
still...
I did to get this money for? The whole point of having this money was so I could be the
guy.
But
he does get to be there, though. Like, and he's
so
part of the party.
No, but don't...
Would you think he's rooting against his team? Like,
no,
do you think he's this is brutal?
No!
This is brutal!
No, but I do think that there's got to be at least a... It's not as fun. They don't go to him like, Mark... You know, you did it, Mark, and it's all about you today. It's not about you anymore. You're a sideline figure. Anyway, no, my point here is not, again,
there's
that
way
I'm,
more Schadenfreude in watching Jason Tatum.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, another flame out in the postseason.
I would love another, like, Bill like Simmons a, meme of him
oh
at one of these games,
God.
Crushed, you know, someone taking a picture
Ashen
of him.
Face, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Or, yeah, Dave Portnoy.
Come on.
But yes, Boston fans, the Boston sports fans, I think,
so
care more.
Good.
So seeing their pain higher is
Kyrie
great.
Coming into Boston and putting up a 50 spot.
I do love Kyrie, too. I'm a huge Kyrie guy, but I hate Luka, I think. Like Luka's different to me after that last series because that last series was it was just a different experience than I've had with him before. And I know we've had our moments, like his first one against the Clippers in the postseason. And I wasn't impressed with his run to this point, and I think it's a little overstated, and I still do feel like the chips broke their way incredibly to not get Jokic in Denver, but that they got this inexperienced team that was punching a little above their weight, and but the defense was great.
They're the first team to play 350-plus win teams on their way to the finals since 2010. Sure.
Yeah, like, they've been an underdog in every series.
Yeah, sure.
You like Tatum more then?
Yeah. I like here's the thing. I don't like Tatum more. I really like Jaylen Brown. I've always been a big Jaylen Brown guy. Mm-hmm. And I like Drew Holiday, and I obviously love Kristaps Porzingis, being that I'm half Latvian. Like, so no, there's way more Celtics that I like that I actually enjoy. So yeah, no, I actually, Tatum is the Celtic I feel the least towards in terms of any of these guys. Like, I just find him, I kind of think his Kobe stuff, while is fine, a lot of these players do it, but has been a little cringy at times. I don't like that he wears Kobe stuff as a Celtic. To me, that is supposed to be oil and water, and I don't care that he was your favorite player. You should never mix those two things. So I don't know. I'm torn because, like, yeah, I love Kyrie. I don't really want the Celtics fans to be happy. My point is not that I sit there with the pom-poms on and I'm like, live or die with it. But when the chips are down, don't you guys, and the game is almost at the end, like, are you hoping for a team to get a stop or hoping to get a team to score?
When we get down to the nitty-gritty, like I said, it evolves. Like, I don't need to go into a game with a preconceived notion about
it. But at the very end of the game, you're hoping, like,
oh, yeah, one thing like or another.
If the net is empty and the Oilers are trying to tie the game.
Yeah.
And you're not just rooting for overtime, like I'm saying, or it is in overtime and you're seeing an odd man rush for the Oilers. Are you hoping that the Panthers break it up and go the other way and pot one? So always you have that. Like, in a big moment, you're always kind of feeling one way or the other. Like, I kind of hope that this happens.
I mean, to a slight degree, but it's
not
like,
keeping you up at night.
No, and man,
I feel like I care more than I should about
every
game.
I was just going to say, like, but yeah, compared to the way I feel when I have real emotional stakes in a game, it's like, yeah, I guess it registers ever so slightly. But, like, you would barely even notice it if there was, like, a meter that is, like, a seismogram. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, what was that blip? Did you fall that? Like,
I do also gamble a lot.
Yeah.
I gamble a lot, and a lot of times I'm like, oh, I'm really rooting for my gambling.
Mm-hmm. But, I think that overrides everything.
No, but can I tell you something, too? This is a real confession. So I read Hunter S. Thompson. We used to have a sports column, and it got compiled into a book. He used to write a sports column for ESPN, and I think the book—
page two.
Yeah,
with
but
Bill Simmons.
But I think the book also included some original writings that he had put into it. I can't remember what it was called, but
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is based off of, you're making a joke.
Anyways,
No, but it was that was a sports column that he was writing about that car race in Vegas or something.
So I read this book, and one thing that has always stuck with me is that he used to go and badger sports fans and talk about how trash their team was to bait them into making horrible bets. Like, he'd be like, you're a Broncos fan? And he'd be like, that's embarrassing. That's horrible.
That's actually the best accent impression I've
ever
heard.
I do amazing impressions. I don't know why you hate on my accents and impressions. I do find
one. That's the best one you've done. No, the English accent, Australian accent, well, one, are indiscernible and are horrible.
I was going to say, they blend sometimes. Yeah.
They're awful.
I want to swear so bad. I'll just be like,
can you?
No. yeah. So anyway, he said that he would go to parties and he would rip on or watch. He'd have watch parties with football and he'd have people around. And then he'd start to, like, really hone in on someone and get them to make an awful bet. Because he'd be like, their pride gets into it. And so they would bet the wrong side because they would have a rooting interest. And I feel like my hardest thing as a sports bettor is that I have a really difficult time betting the other side. I actually put a really heavy bet on the Orioles the other night when I went to the ball game. it was one of the first times I've ever done that. This is a confession time. And the entire time, I was like, I didn't enjoy it. I felt bad. No, I won money and I didn't enjoy it. And I've had this before,
too. This is weird, especially with this Blue Jays team here. You're like, I think they should bottom out.
I do think they should bottom out, but I still root for them. Like, they're still a part of me. We're going to go to the game today. Yeah. I'm not going to be rooting for the Orioles to win. I'm still not rooting for the tank. I would root for the tank more, Benny, if I thought it had like if I thought it mattered, you know, if this was the NBA,
nothing matters.
I was freaking out about the Raptors. I was actively rooting. I have been rooting against the Raptors for, I think, 2 years now, where I've been just like tank. I will root against the Raptors next year as well. I would like to put that out there.
Not with Zach Edey.
No, I will be rooting against the Raptors next year. I will be hoping that they get into the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. I just will.
But
I know
won't there be certain big games where you'll be like, okay, no, I want them to get this one. Yeah.
No, there won't.
What if they're good?
If they're good, then it'll change. Yeah. If I really think, like, obviously, if they pivot and they start to look amazing, I'm going to think that. But I still also, there would be a part of me that goes, man, they're this good. Imagine they could get another top pick around these guys. Like, I'll be thinking about that.
Here's the thing. Like, if they're not, like, reasonable.
Baseball, there's no tanking. Like, there's no.
But, there is. Now there's a lottery, too. Which is
I just, that's it. I don't see a scenario. It's like, cool, you get a baseball player that you might see 4 years from now. Like, this is funny about this Arjun Namala guy is that apparently he's horrible now, too. Like, he can't do anything.
Oh, I don't know. He's a child.
Yeah. I know, but that's what I'm saying. But I've heard that, and people go, like, oh, did you see he's struggling? I'm like, isn't he 19?
Yeah, playing professional baseball. Why do I care? Yeah,
like, won't we not know in 2 years?
I think he's 18. Is
actually,
he 19?
Actually, we did know with Logan Warmouth right away. Like, he showed up and they were like, he's the worst.
Well, because he played college. He's like, oh, this guy was at a real program at North Carolina. And it was like, oh, but he sucks?
Yeah, that one was funny. It was literally like, he never even had a blip of a moment where it was like, hey, maybe. Like, at least all the other guys have had blips. Like, even Addison Barger has more of a blip right now than Logan Warmouth had. Like, it's guys have blips.
Been in the major leagues.
He never even had a micro blip.
No. Arjun is 18. Born 2005. 18?
I thought he was 18. And I don't like
hearing
that.
They drafted him as a 17-year-old.
Don't ever say that again.
Baseball's messed up. It's like, sign Vlad as a 17-year-old, draft a guy as a 17-year-old. You're like, Oh, you're having trouble projecting those guys, are you?
Are you? it's so true. It's so true, man. Oh, my God.
Well, you need 6,000 plate appearances at the minor leagues before you're ready for the major leagues.
Can I tell you my sneaky confession of thing that I'm actively rooting against in the finals?
What?
Because, like I said, if the Oilers win, I'm going to talk myself into McDavid. And I don't hate Alberta and the Oilers that way. Like, I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't despise them. Like, if Montreal was in this, I'm telling you, it would be all I'm thinking about is please lose. If the Sens were in it, all I'd be thinking about, please lose. Like, Vancouver, please lose. Calgary, Edmonton, I just, if you were going to give me a choice of the places that were going to bring the cup back to Canada.
Winnipeg. You didn't mention Winnipeg.
Them and Winnipeg, too. It's like, those would be the spots.
Such an afterthought.
I know they're such an afterthought. Sorry, Winnipeg. I'm really rooting against Zach Hyman breaking the playoff goal record. That is probably the deepest investment I have. Like, I know that people go, it's Dubas, it's goggles, it's, you know, they love doing it's a Dubas dunk, and I'm like, uh-huh. And then it riles people up because then the other idiots come out and go, no one wanted to give him that contract. It's like, I literally did multiple shows saying he should be part of the core and that they should make him a part of the core and that you need to do it. I actually projected his salary to be even higher. You can Google some of those tweets. I don't want to see a guy who was a former Leaf hold that record on a Canadian team. And I know you can say, oh, it's a McDavid record. It's not. It's going to be Zach Hyman. It's a former Leaf. It's really embarrassing. And also, Zach Hyman's not one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. So for him to hold that record, I just think it's kind of blasphemous. And so that's probably my strongest rooting interest out of all of this is, like, I don't care if Luka wins or Kyrie wins as much as I care about, you know, the others. I don't care if the Celtics win. I don't even care if the Oilers win. I just don't want Zach Hyman to score 6 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs and hold the solo record for all time. Yeah, you don't love hockey that way, though. Like, it's not your game. Like, it's like, what, 4th on the list of you for?
No. I mean, my most formative watching sports moments as a child with my father were all hockey. Like,
sure,
he
but
didn't
it doesn't
watch
it,
baseball with me. He wasn't a baseball fan. Like, he had season tickets to the
Leafs
when he was a kid.
But hockey's the one sport we don't text during.
No, because I feel like when I text, if I were to text you about the Leafs, you would feel that, and I've gotten responses, terse responses from you.
Oh, wow. You think I look down at you?
Yeah, you gatekeep me when it comes to the Leafs and hockey.
Wow, okay. Armin's always.
I've said that to you, too, before.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah, 100%.
With you? I do. Yeah. Like, with you, Armin, I love that you compared yourself to Ben. It's like, this guy's been co-host for 7 years.
But
my best friend.
And
Armin's like, I also feel that way. Like, yeah, you do. You literally started watching hockey 2 years ago. You told me about it.
Yeah.
I feel like I gatekept. Okay. Also, I'm not a big mister, like, text during games. I just like to watch the games, honestly.
I do hate. I feel like you gatekeep me on baseball.
I don't. I get annoyed, and I'm like, that's fine. You can have your takes. And I love, like, unhinged, stupid takes. I talked about the Blue Jays trading for Jackson Holliday the other day. Like, I don't care. Like, there's no
third. How would that happen?
I don't know. Whatever it takes. Bo Bichette, Vlad, both of them. Wouldn't you do a package deal? Vlad and Bo.
Of course.
Jackson Holliday.
Just for the money saving and the, like...
Jackson Holliday. Jackson Holliday might stink.
Like his name would be way better if it was Holiday Jackson.
Okay. And what is like Austin Jackson's
kid? Just like Holiday Jackson. It's like, whoa, that's got, if he switched those names around,
No, I don't gatekeep. I just get annoyed because everything's like the most extreme with you in every moment. I'm like, I just want to like watch this game and not be like annoyed because annoyed and like you're annoying me more.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I got two kids hanging off me and I'm trying to make dinner and like get them to bed and also watch the game and then get ready for a show tomorrow. And you're like texting me and like getting mad that I'm not responding to your horrible text.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's mostly, I don't gatekeep you on baseball. I just feel like I'll have you feel more gatekeepy about your hockey stats. Like
I don't even know
nebulous,
how so.
The nebulous nature of hockey where like nothing's quantifiable and it's the most random sport anyways. How can you really have a hardened hockey take?
So that's actually my number one hockey take is that I hate that hockey take.
It's see?
Like the randomness of it. But no. But I think that's more so. I saw this clip yesterday. I think it was Versteeg shared it actually on his Instagram. It was of what's that guy's name? Gary V.
Yeah,
he's the inspirational guy. He's like, never tell your kids that it's just a game, because he's like, if your kid actually is showing a passion towards sports. Anyways, the crux of it is I'm regurgitating, but it's like his idea is essentially that you're teaching your kid to be apathetic. Mm-hmm. At a really important juncture of their life as they're finding something that they're very invested in. Like,
Things matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did look at it like, okay, this is obviously a little extreme. Like I think some of this is consoling it, but no, I kind of understood the premise of it. And I hate that with hockey is like, I enjoy watching it. I feel like there are things that matter. And yes, it's a very, out of all the like randomness sports, it's definitely at the very top of it. I still remember reading McCowan's book actually. Mm-hmm. And I think the opening chapter, he's got a thing where he goes, if I clip the goals out of a hockey game and just show you the rest of the game and make you guess who won, you'll never know. You'll get it wrong 50% of the time.
Yep.
And I went, damn, that's a harsh indictment of the sport, but it's a true indictment.
Yeah.
Think about that Stars game the other night against the Oilers. It's like, if I showed you that, you'd have been like, well, pretty obviously Dallas won.
Well,
you're
did
like, wrong.
Yeah, show us that the Oilers got power plays? Or
no, but you would. You'd see, but you just wouldn't see the goals. You'd see that they have power plays. You just wouldn't see the goals. But
I mean, you would assume goals.
Anyway.
Because they have power plays.
I think it probably bothers me because there's, like, so much truth to it.
Yeah, I know. That's your triggered.
Yeah, that I, like, I immediately get my back up and go, don't ever say that!
No. You know,
like a psycho.
The thing that it's, listen. All this stuff is random and stupid.
Also,
and like,
I cheer for the number one loser franchise, though, too. And I hate when people are like, you're only a loser because the Leafs are only losers because they got super unlucky all these times. Where I'm like, no, at some point.
I know there is more to that. Yeah, for sure. But like, also, like, there is that. Like, just
sure.
Yeah, they factually could have scored a goal and won all round and then got waxed by, we think, the Panthers.
Like, I think if they lost in like a variety of ways, I'd be like, God, they are super unlucky. But it's like the fact that every year they're like, hey, the power play stunk and they didn't score
goals. Yeah, no, for sure. I think the thing
that
irks
me. Guys to score goals.
Actually, this is more like a universal sports opinion, not specifically hockey.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that irks me the most is like the self-serious sports execs who's like, I'm the only one that can figure this out.
Dude,
like,
you, this give is me what the, I hate
give
about
me
Ross
all,
Atkins.
All the millions of dollars because like, I mean, fans, they think they know something. You don't know what I know. Loss,
yeah.
Flame out.
I know.
Predictable outcome.
Yeah.
Like what?
No, but that's
Bryce
most,
Young.
Dude,
like,
Bryce Young is actually the one where you go, that sucks because it's not the executive.
Owner.
That's the owner who's like,
I get it, sure.
Who's like, I'm rich and I did this
and
I want that.
Like,
and they're
he's
like,
tiny.
Okay.
He's tiny. I know, but he wasn't like,
no, the Blue Jays one is the worst.
Executives that would have taken Bryce Young first too, though.
The Blue Jays one is the worst where they're just like, let's do our little plan again with Kikuchi. And then it backfires and they're like, well, we've got to evaluate the way that we let the guys in the room. It's like,
it's
you
just
idiots.
Sports,
it's
man.
Just like, the hey, guess what? The guy's pitching well.
Yeah.
Maybe let the guy who's throwing the ball well
not
keep
war.
Throwing
like,
it.
Nobody's lives are in danger here. Like, it's human beings.
No, I know. And that is the most upsetting to me. And I agree with you because that's why I never want to actually feel gatekeepy with sports. You're right. everybody catches somebody at the wrong time with some of this, right? Like, I have days where I'll be on social media and I'm just having like a bad day, and someone will send me, like, they just disagree with a take in some way, and I'm just mad. I'm like, how dare you? I'm like, I almost blocked them.
Yeah,
they just disagreed with the take. I know, but I'm just in a bad mood.
Yeah, so, no, I'm the same way.
Yeah, but I hate the sports media people and the sports executive people who are like, this is some kind of like a formula for, you know, it's just, it's why I revel in some of the failures of those guys when they get it wrong and I see that they've got it wrong. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, again, I think that I hope people understand who listen to the show that there's a little bit of, even when I'm in the most like hardline opinion that I'm ever in, that I know I'm just like a dumb guy who likes sports and who gets like emotional and sends texts to my friends. Like, that's the main thing. I do think sports are for everyone, to the point where I actually even think it's embarrassing sometimes when former players try to make it seem like you can't know about what their sport is. Yeah. Like when they're like the "you didn't play" guys, we go,
yeah,
we can see what you're doing.
I probably watched more sports than you've even played in.
It's like, yeah, you're wearing pajamas or underwear and you're passing a ball around. Like, we get it.
You're a delicate genius.
Yeah, it's like, we get it. That's why whenever JJ Redick talks about screens, it's like, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's pretty understandable. Like, man, we're talking about. Anyway, I was going to get into like some education of some guys. So it's like, yeah, dude, the reason why we all like it and we could all do it is like, we're all just dumb guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's, we're all just dumb guys fighting in a pile being like, oh, I'm not as dumb as you. It was like, that's why we fall for these smart dudes who are like, look, a chart and I know how to read it. We're like, I guess he knows what's up.
Yeah. He's like from the other world, a guy from the other world, the real world came into our dumb guy world. He's trying to apply real world sensibilities to the dumb thing.
Yeah. We're like, we got to go with it. And then all of a sudden we're like 5 years later into this guy's chart
plan. There's a reason why we like the dumb thing.
You know what? My thought about letting the pitcher who's pitching well pitch wasn't that dumb after all. There was, it turns out that wasn't such a bad idea. Yeah, no. Well, we got the splits in the way. Like, okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. I guess so. Anyway.
Can we do a conspiracy kitchen here quick while Ben's here? It's a baseball one.
Okay.
Yeah. The Cleveland Guardians stadium win theory thing. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
Okay. The Guardians made changes to their outfield. So they took out some shipping containers from last season to this season. Last season, they were dead last. That stadium was dead last in home runs, averaging 1.58. This season, they're 15th in the MLB. They're up almost one full home run a game. 40 home runs to the right field in the MLB this season have had an expected batting average under 200. 10 of them were in Cleveland. No other city has more than 4. The Guardians are 40-20 and in first place. And so people are starting to question if the ball is carrying more with their more wind being in the outfield. Now, I don't know about aerodynamics. I have no idea. Ben, like,
no,
is there truth
I know
to this?
Aerodynamics. I mean, I didn't follow all that.
What's the conspiracy?
Containers that were actually like blocking wind flow?
Yeah, they were.
Well, then that seems like cut and dried. We did it. We solved it.
Solved.
Like, yeah.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. When you have more air blowing out, I would say that the ball will carry more.
So why would it more like.
Well, because if you're built on pitching, you don't want that to happen, right? Like,
this is a worse idea bringing this up.
That doesn't sound like a conspiracy. That sounds like that is actually like the smart guys are like, yeah, hey, you know, actually they did this. Here's another conspiracy. Fewer home runs to left field in Baltimore than there used to be. You know why? Because they moved the fence back like 50 feet.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they're too many home runs.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, teams do this.
Conspiracy.
It's a, yeah, and the Blue Jays were like, hey, we got some good left-handed hitters last year. Let's move the fences kind of sort of in, but up in right field. Didn't work out so well, but yeah.
When the Jays play the Cleveland conspiracy. And they still hit no home runs. That's,
didn't move enough shipping containers.
That's what I'll be saying is move those containers a little bit more into what, like, how many shipping containers do you need to move to get Vladdy to stop hitting the ball on the ground? And
they're in Cleveland next weekend, so
yeah.
We'll see.
I think you need to, I don't know, move the fences into like the.
No, you know what you need to make? You know what you need to do? This is a real take. If you change it to cricket, Vladdy would be incredible because he would hit, like, you could hit the ball on the ground.
Well, Bo and, too, because he could make contact. You hit him behind him, like all those foul balls. But you can get the fours
because if it bounces over the so in cricket, if you hit it over, I know it's a
cricket.
Six.
Don't tell me about cricket.
I'm just telling to the audience: if you hit the ball in the air, if you hit the ball in the air over the boundary, it's a six. If you hit it on the ground over the boundary, it's a four. Mm-hmm. It's like Vladdy would the way he hits it, the strength in which he hits it with, he would be the fours king. He would be Mr. Four. They
you
would
do
be
have
like
to get
four,
it past
four.
A fielder, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he would burn it by them. You think those guys are going to touch those worm burners with no gloves? No way. Hell no.
We don't talk king. Enough about how, like, English people are like, they use gloves and I was almost going to try and do an English
accent.
Dude, I caught
a cricket ball with my bare hand once. I've played twice. It's the most exhilarating sports feeling I've genuinely ever had.
Oh,
I've hit game winner threes. I've made big saves in in must win games. Volleyball. It's like
you've spiked like yeah.
No, I was a libero. I was going to say that my actual biggest volleyball moment was
you volleyed to with the guy that did the thing.
No, yeah, but no, but this. So we had a chance to go to OFSA.
Uh huh.
We're in the EOSA. I think it was semifinal because I think both teams got into the final. Either way, it was literally the game to get into OFSA, and I had the worst game of my life. Like I had the yips, and I couldn't dig a ball up. I couldn't make a play. Mm. It was like I am single handedly the reason that my volleyball team did not go to OFSA. It was fluid.
Joker.
I choked so hard, dude. I had a horrible game. Like I just a horrible, 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 horrible game. I was a borderline unplayable. Like it was.
Wow. People still talk to you about that?
No.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Nobody cares about volleyball. I got back to school and it wasn't like,
oh, there's the guy that played on the team that nobody watches. He puts the L in libero.
Yeah, dude, like, I couldn't tell you how little people cared about volleyball or whatever. And especially the position for the short guy that dives around, wears a different colored jersey. It's like, no. No, they didn't care. Nobody cared at all. No one ever had a singular talk about it.
I know that for a fact because I have a buddy who was like borderline national team player, and he played second division pro in Europe, and it was like
women's volleyball. It's like cool. Men's no, dude. Chase Budinger. This is a. So I make fun of soccer goalies all the time.
Sweet too. That's the thing.
No, it is the if you're tall.
No, but it's sweet to watch.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I actually really enjoyed playing volleyball, but. This is a stone cold ironclad. I have no questions about it. I'm not even exaggerating. Like with soccer one, I'm kind of, as you guys say, take the piss out of you a little bit with the soccer goalie thing. I understand. I actually think any basketball player that's over 6'5" or 6'6", like in the NBA, like any one of those guys, if they wanted to be on USA volleyball team, it's like a...
The front court players, do they not have, like, the digging part? Yeah, like, that would be the hard, but they
matter.
Don't have to do that, right?
No,
if you're just hit, like...
No. You got to have those
block.
Skills.
Yeah, block and hit.
And block is the main two things for the powers in the middles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 100%, like, you know, because
Wemby
you get,
would be the
I was thinking Wemby,
yeah.
too.
The
yeah.
middles, the middle gets subbed out for the libero. So if you're a power, you have to have some of those skills. But, like, playing middle, no. You... No, man. Not just Wemby. Any guy... In his, like, if
Jakob Poeltl,
yeah,
Derek Jones Jr., someone like that with super ups,
dude, would destroy volleyball, would destroy it.
What about Zach Edey? Can't jump,
yeah, he would still be a great middle,
yeah,
he'd still be an amazing middle. Like, no, he would dominate it. No, volleyball is kind of like volleyball is the sport for guys in high school where it's like you're not really good at other sports, but you're tall,
like, you have some athleticism,
yeah, you have some, but you didn't play any sports growing up. So in grade 9, you're like, I'll try sports now. And then you're really good at it because the rest of the guys are like, we're not really that into it. We're playing the real sports, playing hockey and basketball. And
you look good without a shirt on. Beach.
I played it because it was super easy with my schedule. And it was like never, I didn't play football.
Hmm.
So when I was like, yeah, I'm not a football player.
Maybe. I got to say beach volleyball is one of the best beach activities, though.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great activity. It's a great activity. Yeah, diving around is really fun. Anyway, all right. This has gone too long. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow with Guest Unknown.